section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts. All the penis jokes, racial statements, and inappropriate comments should not be associated with our guests and sponsors. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and if you're easily offended, we suggest you stop listening now. But if you do, you will deprive yourself of the most amazing auditory orgasm ever. And who doesn't like a good auditory orgasm?
I am about to tell you something that'll change the face of history.
Coming to you live from the dirty stalls of the IBWIP studio and the airwaves of Silent Storm Radio, please welcome Amish BJ, Cold Beer Coley, and the podcasting god,
Amen.
Blake Clayton, and another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
We're not total dicks.
Follow that, bitch.
1, 2, 3, 4... When I turn my radio dial, all I hear is pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me.
Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee.
That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause
now it burns when I pee.
Everyone to episode number 85 of It Burns When I Pee. I am your host, Blake Clayton, and in this week's installment in the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee, we have with us Filthy Still. The guys from Filthy Still came through town, stopped over at IBWIP Studios, performed a couple songs for us, and we also sat down and interviewed them. So check it out. I hope you enjoy it. Also, this is available as a vidcast on our YouTube page, Pia Vision. Check out Pia Vision on YouTube. And check out some of the other vidcasts we've had. But the guys from Filthy Still, totally awesome. Jesse, Matt, Jeremy, and Guido. Great group of guys, great musicians. And I hope you enjoy the interview, folks. Here is Filthy Still.
Take 20.
Hey!
All right, everybody, welcome to the IBWIP Studios and another in-studio interview we have with us tonight, Filthy Still. You're supposed to clap. And our in-house audience. So I guess I'm going to introduce everybody. This is Jesse. This is Matt, Jeremy, and Guido. Sorry about that. We just got down here and played some songs, and they're in town. First, I want to, Jesse, we'll give you the first question if you want. How did you guys get hooked up with Farmageddon Records?
Well, we heard about them through the Goddamn Gallows, and we were interested in their what they were doing and all their different music, Jake Orvis and stuff. And we kind of just hoped someday we would get on there. And we ended up going down to Muddy Roots and playing. We weren't even on the bill. We just kind of showed up and played. And Darren saw it there, I believe, and got more interested. And then we went through Texas, where he was living at the time, on that same tour, and hung out with him and made it official. That's pretty much how it happened.
And it's definitely what I've noticed from Farmageddon is it's very family-oriented. Everybody kind of sticks together.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously I think that it turns into, when you guys are on tour and stuff, there's always people that can help you out using Farmageddon as a connection.
That was one of the best connections we had.
So another question I have is, what do you think the allure is of the punk influence in the roots music now, whoever wants to answer? Because there's obviously...
What was the question?
Just the allure of punk influence in roots music now. I mean, you can tell there's a lot of punk influence in the roots music, and I just... Where do you think that comes from in regards to, you know, a lot of punk bands end up, you know, doing something different and going into roots, or where do you think that connection comes in?
For me, I grew up in East Tennessee, and you see all these guys playing, like, just on their porch, and sort of everyone comes out and just has a good time, and it's not really about, you know, making $1 million. They're just doing it because they love it, you know, and you don't have to be the best at it. You just, like, do it because your friends are doing it, and it's what you do for a good time, and that's what punk rock was when I was younger, you know. It's like,
right,
we definitely
the
weren't the best musicians out there, you know, but it was fun to...
They were doing it because of the music. You know, that's kind of how the punk originated in the first place. Was,
yeah, just friends having a good time, and that's sort of what the roots music was, and, you know, sort of... I mean, that's one aspect of it. There's a lot of aspects of it, so, I don't know.
So
you
had
aspects of it, Jeremy?
I have a little punk... what was I going to say? Also, drinking songs, like, you know,
sure.
I got a lot of, old, I don't know, like punks like to drink and party, and we do
right.
too, and country, old country drinking songs.
There
I
you
guess.
Go.
I don't know if that, I never really thought about that till now, but kind of proud of myself. But,
so you've had right. a few different lineups, you know, since the band started. What's the most difficult part of, you know, kind of keeping a band together, and does it make a difference maintaining the Filthy Still sound when you have to... With a different line of changes.
This question is us.
Here, let me ask.
I mean, it's difficult. We've gone through yeah, I mean, it's always been me, Jesse, and Jeremy since the beginning. I mean, we've gone through a lot of lineup changes. We lost our washboard player. He was a good friend of ours who passed away a few years ago. And, I mean, he played washboard and did sort of black metal style vocals, which was a big part of our sound at that time. And I mean, it's something we never really regained in our sound. And I mean, we've gone through quite a few bass players too. I mean, we had our original bass player Mike for a couple of weeks, and who played a sort of similar bass to Artie, who was our next bass player, who played this homemade upright washtub bass. And then we got Liz and Jared with us, and then we had Liz on the fiddle, which was amazing. Not having her now is, like, sort of taken away from our sound, we feel, because we're used to having her, but, I mean, it's tough to maintain the sound, but we do what we can. We add more instruments. And
sure, and SP, and when you lose and when you gain different stuff, it does kind of, it keeps you guys fresh in the fact that you do have different sounds. You're not just maintaining one sound all the way through.
Yeah, exactly.
So, where do you guys envision Filthy Still in 5 years?
5 years. Oh. Shit, wow. That's a hard question to answer, but...
Rehab.
I don't make easy...
Yeah, probably rehab or jail or... hopefully not in the ground. touring. Yeah, I'd just say like touring. Like that's how I'd want it to be. You know, just we've been constantly touring pretty much for about almost 2 years now.
We know bands have been touring for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. You know,
yeah. So we're just trying to pay our dues. You know, so it's we're starting to get better. Like we're establishing fan bases in different spots in the country, which has been really good. And
you know, speaking of touring, you know, with most roots bands, you guys are just constantly touring. You know, are you guys making a profit, or are you guys just kind of getting from town to town? I mean, I know it's kind of a weird, odd question, but yeah. I guess, you know, I understand that, you know, like you said, you guys aren't in this to make millions and millions of dollars.
No.
But, you know, being on the road constantly, I mean, is there at the end of a tour, is there a reward at the end of the tour
besides
just hanging out? And
it's usually a reward.
Usually there's a little bit of a reward of some sort, but
each tour has been getting better.
Yeah, it's been more and more every time. Like, our first few, we just break even, and now we come home with a little bit.
Too. I mean, in the early days.
Yeah, I love breakdowns. And
yeah, we break down a lot and this and that.
It seems like a constant struggle.
Yeah.
And, like, another thing, like, I always think of is, like, playing, like, people work all year, you know, to go out and like go on vacation, you know, for 2 weeks, and like they gotta work real hard and do all that, you know, and like we get to sort of have a vacation all year, you know.
Right.
And you know, and we
see different things.
Yeah, but you know, we got a lot of sacrifices too that we have to put up, and you know, sleeping in a freezing cold van, or
yeah,
you know, putting up
every day,
yeah,
loading.
And it's, you know,
it's not easy. It's a fun job, but it's not an easy job.
Yeah, but yeah, it's cool though. There's a lot of rewards, and it's not money, you know,
right,
all the time. It's
yeah,
it's the friendship and all the things that get to happen. We get to, you know, witness on the road.
Right.
So.
And that was kind of the point that I was hoping to get to.
Right.
Was
it's more about the experience.
It's the experience,
you know, like the people we meet and like lifelong friends. Out
the life
that's worth no money. Like,
right.
That's
exactly
worth more than any money, you know.
It's a waste of time. So one of the questions I had was, I asked you guys to play Dinosaur Shit, and I was just really curious. I really was intrigued by the song, and so I was just curious of how that song came to be.
Basically, one day I was walking my dog around the block back home. I got a dog named Ozzy, Golden Retriever, and walking him around the block. And he stopped and took a dump on some guy's lawn who always got angry, you know, and it's like, I don't really feel like picking up the shit. I don't like to do it. I don't know. But so I'm thinking, like, what does he care? The whole world is made of dinosaur shit anyway, you know, thinking the ground is somewhat composed of it. And so I was thinking, like, that's a good idea for a song, and I just got home and, like, wrote it out in 5 or 10 minutes. But
see, songs can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
Even when you're walking your dog.
I have actually another song that came from writing. It's not out yet, but it's another one about my dog shitting on someone's lawn too. So I guess I have an interest in that. Or something. I don't know.
Guido, this one's for you. As a member of Cutthroat Shamrock, how did you get hooked up with the band? We know we talked about this a little bit before, but just how did you get hooked up with the band to go on this tour?
Well, Cutthroat's been around a little bit longer. Actually, this March 17th will be like our 10th year of being a band and playing shows and stuff. But out there on the road, like, you meet all these people and become friends with them, and like these guys are probably like my top 5 bands that like I became friends with and really enjoyed their music over like the last 10 years, you know. And I was
and we'll pause for a group hug.
But I don't know, I just, Cutthroat, like I said, it's coming up on like 10 years, and we're going to have an album come out in June, and we decided to tour real hard for June, July, and August, and from there on out, maybe, you know, so we sort of took off beforehand a little bit, and I don't have a whole lot going on at home, you know, so I sort of made my life so I can leave, you know, a lot,
right.
And I was just going to travel around until then, and these guys needed a bass player, so it was, like, perfect for me to just jump
awesome.
In with them and stuff. But
awesome.
I just met them on the road and became friends with them, playing shows. Both of our bands are touring constantly and running across each other. So
crisscrossing paths. And
yeah.
Oh, we just
yeah.
played there the other day.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's that.
Awesome. So, Jesse, the Filthy Stills kind of started as a solo act, I guess,
yeah.
originally. You know, how did it kind of turn into a band? going from you, you know.
All right. Basically, what happened was we were, me and my friend Mark Leonard and our buddy Dylan, who passed away, he was talking about before, we got in a Corolla and we went on tour, which was mostly like house parties and barbecues and little tiny things.
Like big people's bars. Living rooms?
Yeah, people's living rooms a lot of times. Not as nice living rooms as this. Oh. Anyways, we just keep traveling like that, or we were traveling doing that, and came back home. And while we were doing that, I had him start playing washboard. I had a little mandolin banjo that I would play, and I'd made my friend Mark start playing guitar. So it was a band like that, kind of. But it was always revolving members at that point. And then when I got home, I knew Matt from punk bands we were in when we were kids and stuff. So we got Matt to start playing whatever. Got a banjo for Christmas, I think, or something. And, yeah, basically we started playing together. We found Jeremy also through Dylan, who, yeah, he actually made us all kind of come together. But,
Just with each passing year, it just kind of grew into...
Yeah, it just keeps more growing, more. You know, meet more people. I mean, we could, we're always open to ideas of other members jumping up and playing with us, too, all the time. A lot of our buddies.
I'll flash it on the screen. So this is kind of a question for everybody. I kind of, and it's a broad question, but hopefully, you know, it makes sense. Is why music? Why make that life choice?
It's the only thing I want to do with my life. I don't know.
It's just... Yeah, it's what I want to do. I just knew it when I was younger, and I was in punk bands. I wasn't very good, but I was like, not good, but I still want to do this. Like, and just keep trying and keep doing it.
I'm just pretty much completely screwed without it, you know. It's like I didn't have a job for a long time, you know. I mean, doing absolutely nothing. Music was the only thing I was really interested in. I was always just passionate about it. I always wanted to do, you know, the music thing. I never really thought that actually we'd get to do it, you know, this seriously. So this is pretty crazy, but it was like without this, there's, you know, I'd be doing
stuff.
I'm delivering pizzas or something, you know, just
right.
Nothing. I didn't go to college or anything like that. I got a GED.
Yeah, like, well, after, like, meeting bands like the Goddamn Gallows, I've known those guys for some years now. Like, just very inspiring to see what they're doing, like, working so hard on the road. And I just love music, and I just wanted to make that lifestyle. So worked a few years just to get it out there, and then I was just on the road constantly, you know.
So. Awesome. How about you, Guido?
I don't know. I just fell in love with it, you know, playing music. Like I said, starting out in punk bands, I sort of have the same background as these guys, you know. And just had a lot of fun with my friends and stuff, and, you know, the folk music. Like, I really dig that, and it really kept me interested because people get to, like, you know, just play, you know, wherever you want acoustically. And there's those late night sessions when you're up, like, you know, we rolled in today. We were bitching about being up at 6 o'clock this morning
right.
Playing music, you know. And I mean, that's what makes me fall in love with it, is just like all the friendship and not only the on stage stuff, but like the afterwards, the
right.
Late hours and early in the morning jam sessions. That
because it is definitely a lifestyle that it's not for everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like you said, you guys don't have these luxurious tour buses that you got a kitchenette and, you know, great bunk beds and stuff. So it's definitely, I mean, I commend you guys because I don't think I could do it. You know what I mean? But it definitely shows that it takes a special person that, and music has to be a very passionate thing to be able to make that sacrifice. Because you're making family sacrifices, you make lifestyle sacrifices.
You kind of just got to cross that line in your head, like accept the fact that you might go a couple weeks without a shower and sleep on the floor every night. But once you get past that, it's really, you get used to it, and it becomes like second nature, everything is.
And
a lot,
you know,
of highs, a lot of lows.
A lot of highs and lows, right. Yeah. Like one night you'll be sleeping on like a bathroom floor, the next next you'll be like partying with really cool people. I don't know. You
there's
know what I
mean? There's yeah, there's a big difference between
passed out, you know.
Bring a sleeping bag, bring a pillow.
Yeah, so we all have sleeping bags and all that good stuff.
Learn what you need to, you know,
sure.
Be happy and comfortable on the road within reason.
And like you've said, as each tour grows, I mean,
yeah.
It gets a little bit easier and everything goes a little bit smoother and it's not as
yeah.
rough as those first
exactly.
couple.
The booking gets easier because that's a big process alone.
People, you know, it's like the fact we don't have to sleep in the van every night.
Right.
The first couple tours, we were sleeping in the van a lot, but now we're at the point where...
We've slept in the van the whole last tour we did.
We met so many great, amazing people on the road.
You were sleeping in the van.
Yeah, I still sleep in it just because...
That's like, a different kind of sleep. That's like that's out of necessity.
Not like, oh, we left the bar at 2 in the morning, let's go find a truck stop and sleep in the van. You know, that's,
right.
That's never fun.
So what is the spring and summer look like for Filthy Still? What's the plan?
This spring, we're hitting Europe for the very first time. Very excited about that. And I think we leave in April 9th.
Something like that.
And then the summer, we got Farmageddon Fest to look forward to that our label puts on. And that's going to be
just going to be touring the whole time. Are you guys excited about the European tour? Have you ever been to Europe?
No. I went to England once, but never.
And there's a lot more to that than just, you know, booking gigs. I mean, you've got transport, you know, the hall over there and the hall back, and then there's all a lot of red tape, of course, to get overseas. So that's definitely difficult, probably.
We'll
figure it. We're going with the flow. Hopefully it's one of the highs, not the lows.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I want to play a game that everybody that listens to IBWIP hates, but we play it anyway. And it's called Word Association. Mel, you love Word Association?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, so I'm just going to give you a word and just tell me the first thing that comes to mind. And Jesse, you can go first. Green corn.
Beer. All right, I'll do another one. Yellow corn.
I just find green corn was the Amish word for pot. I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah. So, so now that's your guys can be your code word.
Now if I need to find some in Pennsylvania.
Right. All right, and like I said, I didn't choose person, so you got the mic next. So what's the first thing that comes to mind when Brokeback Mountain?
I'd have to say gay cowboys.
These all do have.
Eating pudding.
They do have.
Maybe?
They do intertwine with something, so. But you won't find out at the end of this, but they do. All right, Jeremy, get the last one. Donkey punch.
Coconut water.
Perfect. All right, guys, thank you very much for coming and playing some shows. Guido's like, I know this is going to be bad at the end. I only picked out three. But I want to thank you guys for coming by and playing some songs, and we're looking forward to seeing you play live tonight.
Very hydrating. Coconut water. I've been drinking it every day, just so you know. You know. I drink it on tour. It hydrates you. So I was just thinking of that. I didn't want anyone to think I'm weird. So. All right.
We should take the mic from you.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. And you're welcome back anytime.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
The song is called Dinosaur Shit. Well, the earth is made of dinosaur shit. We're all a bunch of monkeys just dance around on it. Ain't got nowhere to go except for down below. They'll dig you up in a million years, put your bones on show. The race of warrior dolphins wanna know, where do the humans go? If you went back in a time machine, a dinosaur would eat you and you'd die and you would scream. It wouldn't be so sweet when they were chewing on your meat. And become part of that dinosaur dung from underneath our feet. May find that fact disgusting, but I think it's kinda neat. Cause the earth is made of dinosaur shit. We're all a bunch of monkeys just dance around on it. And I don't know where to go, except for down below. They dig you up in a million years to put your bones on show. The race of warrior dolphins wanna know, where did the beds go? Napalm, bombs, tanks and RPGs. All the stuff we come up with blow each other to smithereens. We out stealing lie, get a piece of the pie. And if you've got something I want, then I guess you gotta die. That's just the way it goes. Don't ask me why. Cause the earth is made of dinosaurs.
truck, he's just dancing around on it. Ain't got nowhere to go, except for Nambla. That'll be up in a million years and put your bones on show. In the race of warrior dolphins want to know where did the beds go. Next time your life gets hard, take a look out of the window into your backyard. It's down on you, skull, but ain't there no more. Ain't neither will your damn old screw, no, that you can be sure. That's gonna go, my friend, with a dinosaur. Cause the earth is made of dinosaur shit. We're all a bunch of monkeys just to dance around on it. Ain't got nowhere to go, except for Nambla. They'll dig you up in a million years and put your bones on show. The race for your dolphins want to know where do the humans go. And the giant mutant cocks want to know where do the humans go. And whoever ends up here after we go, that's where the humans go!
Pay attention, folks. Here is how you contact the show. We love your feedback, so get off your lazy asses and get a hold of us. You can email Blake at ibwip.com, AmisBJ at ibwip.com, and ColdBeer at ibwip.com. That's my mom and dad. We also have a dial-in number that you can use to leave us a voicemail or call in during the live taping. Now program this into your phone. 1-203-429-4711. We look forward to hearing from you, and remember, boob pics are always welcome.
More booby pics! More booby pics! More booby pics! More booby pics!
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.